Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current political, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This is Thanksgiving week, and I really wanted to do a program about the Pilgrims or American history or some nice homey program about some aspect of Americana, but all that has to be put aside because of the historic nature of last week's press conference held by the president's lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, Cindy Powell, and Jenna Ellis, stating that the election was, quote, not a victory for Biden, but a fraud. Quote, we have enough evidence to overturn any election. Quote, President Trump won by a landslide, and we're going to prove it. Quote, we can't allow these crooks to steal an election from the American people. They elected Donald Trump. They did not elect Joe Biden. Give us an opportunity to prove this in court, and we will. So this story should have been the front page in New York Times with the same font that was used on December 7th, 1941, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. But no, for ideological reasons, the media not only mocked these lawyers, but buried the story. Because as we've seen, the media has discovered it's more advantageous not to report on statements and positions from the right so that the public doesn't know. The very reason Giuliani held this press conference was to get the word out. But after the press conference, that night on ABC and NBC, they gave the story no more than 10 seconds and mischaracterized the press conference as providing no proof. The way they depicted the story was that Trump was again falsely asserting that he won the election. Now, the double standard here is glaring. We all know that if the shoe was on the other foot and the president was a Democrat, the narrative would be that the president is fighting for election integrity, or the president is one step closer to proving election fraud. That's the way they would depict it this press conference if they were Biden's lawyers. Just look at how they defended Hillary back in 2016 as having won the election, how they were saying that Trump is an illegitimate president. And back then, if the Democrats were questioning the election, it was just part of democracy. But if Trump questions the election, it's depicted as a kooky conspiracy theory. And in the dispute in the election in 2000 between Bush and Al Gore, the media was more than happy to drag out the election and report on voter fraud for more than 2 months. So the bias is absolutely amazing. There are really two stories here. First, the election fraud. And second, the biased media coverage. This failure of the media to be unbiased in its reporting and its failure to investigate could be an entire program. And the irony here is that the press misreported the story of the press conference when in that press conference, the malfeasance of the press was continually pointed out. Quote from Giuliani, I know you keep reporting falsely that we have no evidence, that we have no specific acts of fraud. That's because the coverage of this has been almost as dishonest as the scheme itself. The American people are entitled to know this. You don't have a right to keep it from them. You don't have a right to lie about it. Also, Giuliani said, it's your job to read these things and not falsely report that there's no evidence. Do you know how many affidavits we have in the Michigan case? 220? Also, Giuliani said, I know this is a lot of information that we're giving out, probably because we're frustrated with what we keep reading and hearing in the censored press, which is that we have no evidence. We have no specifics. We have no backup of what we're saying. You largely ignore the affidavits that we filed. Whether you agree or disagree with the affidavits, it's evidence. You can't say, I mean, you're just lying to the people when you say there is no evidence. Then Jenna Ellis gets up and she rebukes the press by saying that the headlines tomorrow will be Trump team has no evidence. But we're telling you these affidavits are evidence. So guess what? Ellis was right. The next day, the media reported Trump team has no evidence. Now, we don't know if the Trump lawyers are right and that there is this grand conspiracy against the president. But given the obvious outright misrepresentations and bias of the media, it causes one to believe that there may be a grand conspiracy. The media creates fertile ground for these conspiracy theories because the media lies so much. It's amazing that there is not one bit of journalistic curiosity concerning election fraud. All there is an a priori attempt to prove it wrong, to report it as nonsense. There is not one bit of skepticism toward the voting system because their man, Joe Biden, won. One of the listeners to this program posted this. Democrats brought little or no evidence for impeachment charges against Trump and get treated as if it's true, while Republicans have to fight tooth and nail to prove anything. It's pretty much two different sets of rules. Well said. So the narrative going into this election was Biden's ahead and he's going to win. And the narrative going out of the election is that Biden is the president-elect. The question is, was the media reporting it this way because it was true or because they wanted to create a public perception? If they continually report and promote a Biden win, it certainly marginalizes any attempt of Trump to dispute the election in the court of public opinion. So that those who dispute the election are considered outliers, loony people. As George Orwell wrote, in the Empire of Lies, the truth is considered treason. Now, I'm not saying, therefore, that every majority opinion is wrong. We just need to be careful. Now, I'd like to cover some of the points made in this press conference, but I do highly recommend that you go to YouTube yourself and watch it. It's about an hour and a half long. You should put the time in because of the historic nature of the accusation here. In short, Giuliani began by addressing illegalities in ballot counting. Ballots in Pennsylvania, Michigan were counted with the poll watchers pushed out. Affidavits claim Democratic bosses instructed workers to fill out ballots for those who didn't show up to vote. Dates were adjusted on mail-in ballots and missing information was filled in. Trucks pulled up at night with pristine mail-in ballots. And Democrats scanned votes for Biden multiple times. Again, Giuliani says he has affidavits, witness testimony on all this. Quote, next time you, the media, say there's no evidence, you'll be lying. Quote, this is all happening in Democrat corrupt cities where they know they can get away with this. They didn't carry this out where the law is respected. Then Giuliani goes on to excoriate the press for not doing its job. Giuliani says these affidavits would be on the front page of all of your newspapers if it weren't for the pathological hatred you have toward the president. Then Cindy Powell gets up to speak at this press conference. She's an evangelical Christian along with Jenna Ellis. And while Giuliani focused on the corruption in the physical counting, Powell's case was about the Dominion voting machines themselves. Fraud on the national level in the computer software. She claimed that there were Dominion software people adding and shifting votes to Biden, and she claimed to have testimony to prove it. Now, this week, the Trump campaign separated itself from Cindy Powell, saying that Powell is not part of the official Trump legal team. And so the media reported this as Giuliani isn't supporting Powell's conspiracy theories about Dominion voting machines. But Giuliani was interviewed and he said they separated the legal cases so that they could have a two-prong attack, where Giuliani goes to court with the ballot case. Powell and her team go to court with deeper systemic issues, which will take much longer to prove. So over this past week, I have spent just hours researching this whole issue. There are so many angles and there's just too much information to share. Let me just give you some bullet points here. Pennsylvania and Georgia and some of these key battleground states. Place these new Dominion voting machines in service for the 2020 election. And at the beginning of this year, the media at that time was writing articles doubting their security. Now, these new Dominion voting machines create a paper ballot. As I mentioned in my program last week, digital computer voting is insane. There is no way to verify it. But these Dominion voting machines create a printout for each vote. They are kept separate, and they are used to check the computer tabulation. But here's the problem. They create a barcode that the voter doesn't see. For all the voter knows, the computer could have printed out that he was voting for Mickey Mouse. Jay Valentine, CEO of InfoGlide, is a statistician and heads up this company that investigates computer fraud for major corporations. He is on record saying that he has looked at how these votes came in for Biden, the timing, the vote dumps, and he says there are clear indications of tampering. For it to have happened the way it did without tampering is a mathematical impossibility. Now, I don't know what to say about his claim. I would love to have the data in front of me so I could examine it, but take it for what it is. This is his expert testimony. Now, on the right-wing conspiracy theory sites, apparently, according to the claim, the CIA and the FBI are in cahoots with the Democrats and the deep state. But the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, is for traditional American values and for Trump. And this is why 2 weeks ago, Trump fired his Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, because Esper was part of the deep state, and Trump replaced him with the DIA guy, Chris Miller, a man who is closer to the military and not part of the Washington swamp. And apparently, the Department of Defense then raided a CIA computer operation in Germany to gather evidence against the CIA, evidence of election fraud. But many sources say that raid never took place, that this is just nutty conspiracy theory speculation. At this point, who knows? In this culture war against leftists and government, those on the right are going to make serious mistakes. And there are going to be some players on the right who exaggerate and jump to hasty conclusions. Because, I mean, why wouldn't we believe every possible accusation against government corruption? Because look at how the FBI behaved in the Russian collusion hoax. Is Cindy Powell really right? Does she have the Kraken, as it's called? The software proving that the Democrats cheated in the election? Well, let's remember that Cindy Powell is just a lawyer. She's not an expert in computers. All she can go by is testimony. What witnesses claim to have seen. And actually, she may be listening to a few of the wrong voices. Because some of these dark web conservative pundits can really spin a yarn. They connect dots by mere inference rather than by genuine proof. So Powell may be wrong in some things, such as the Venezuelan connection. But she could also be right in other things. So now let's look at the scriptures. We should all come to know and learn Ezekiel chapter 8. We're in a vision. God commands Ezekiel to dig through a wall into the temple. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 8, God said to me, "Son of man, now dig through the wall." So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. Now, I know this is an obscure text. I mean, if you ask for a show of hands in your typical evangelical church as to how many know about Ezekiel digging through the wall, you probably only get a couple of hands. But really, because this is in the Bible, we should know this text just as well as the feeding of the 5,000. And this text has always come to my mind in regard to conspiracy theories, because it has a lot to say about the subject. So God comes to Ezekiel, chapter 8, verse 6, and asks, "Son of man, do you see what they're doing, the great abominations which the house of Israel is committing here. Well, how could he? How could anyone really know what is going on behind closed doors in the Israeli government in 600 BC? Unless he hired undercover investigators and got witnesses to give sworn testimony, how could Ezekiel know? But even then, that would be impossible, because the elders running Israel were not about to let anyone know what was really going on. So in a vision, God takes Ezekiel to Jerusalem to the entrance of the temple. And the first thing Ezekiel sees is an idol at the gate, pretty much out in the open. Since Israel was under the vassalage of the Babylonian Empire, it probably was some Babylonian god. You know, the Jews at this time might have brushed off this as simply the religious ecumenicalism of the day. But then God tells Ezekiel to dig through the temple wall. Verse 9, he said to me, "Go in and see the wicked abominations that are committed here." And inside the temple, Ezekiel sees all sorts of idols carved on the wall. And he sees the 70 elders of Israel bowing down and worshiping these idols. Ezekiel 8:12, he said to me, "Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images. For they say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.'" And the point here is that the elders of Israel were polytheistic in their heart. They worshiped whatever deity they thought could help them. And it didn't seem like they were getting anything from the god Jehovah, so they turned to the occult. Then God takes Ezekiel back out to the north gate, and Ezekiel sees the women, who are apparently coming to the temple to worship, worshiping the Babylonian god Tasmuz, the god of the underworld. Then finally, God brings Ezekiel back into the inner court, and there Ezekiel is shown 25 men, priests of Israel, prostrating themselves in worship before the sun. Now, the whole point of this vision is to explain to Israel, through the prophet Ezekiel, why the Spirit of God is leaving the temple and why judgment is going to fall upon Israel. Ezekiel 8:18, "Therefore, I indeed will deal in wrath. My eyes will have no pity, nor will I spare. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not listen to them." You see, at this time, there were plenty of Jews who were saying, "The corruption of Israel isn't really that bad. The Lord's still with us. We're good people." But little did most Jews realize how corrupt they were and how corrupt their society had become. Now, this insider information given to Ezekiel was not about voter fraud or child sex rings or deep state communism. Actually, in fact, that kind of corruption was already pointed out in other messages by the prophets. Here in Ezekiel chapter 8, the point was religious spiritual integrity, which is overlooked by most people, but is actually the most important element to an honest and good government. Governments that are corrupt are first corrupt because of religious apostasy. False theology, rebellion against God's person and his laws. So here is the timeless significance of this text. Conspiracy theories are all about the hidden things done by people in secret. And in this vision to Ezekiel, God is reminding his people that in every age, if you dig through the wall, there is some serious corruption going on. Don't be naive. There is a reason these politicians are for abortion and homosexuality and gender bending and legalized marijuana and communism. It's not simply because they believe in moral tolerance. It's because these leaders are personally morally depraved and their theology is akin to the occult. Let's not overlook the fact that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were engaged in an affair, immorality and adultery, all the while they were plotting to take down the president. And Jeffrey Epstein and his political friends were involved in a child sex ring. Now, the conspiracy theories of QAnon might be exaggerated, but they find their origin in some truth. So also in this election fraud conspiracy theory. You know, there's this book that came out in 2019 called The Plot Against the President, subtitled The True Story of How Congressman Devin Nunes Uncovered the Operation to Bring Down the President of the United States. Well, last month it came out as a movie documentary. You can watch it for free on Amazon Prime. I highly recommend it. It is interview after interview regarding the false prosecution of Defense Secretary Michael Flynn, the Russian collusion hoax, the FISA court, the Steele dossier, the FBI spying on the Trump campaign. And in these interviews, so many conservative statesmen said, quote, "I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize it was that bad." And quote, "The only thing we got wrong was it was worse than what we thought." And Don Jr., when he came to Washington, said that he still had faith in these government institutions, the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, but it was a misguided trust. When President Trump, Don Jr., and the incoming administration were told by the deep state that they needed to fire Michael Flynn because he talked to the Russians 1 month before he became the actual defense secretary, the Trump administration actually believed that to be legal counsel. They had no idea it was a setup to get rid of Flynn because Flynn threatened to shake up the deep state. Ezekiel chapter 8, "Son of man, dig through the wall and see the wicked abominations that are being committed here." So here are my concluding thoughts. Most patriots see the purpose of Donald Trump's presidency is to make America great again. And of course, there's that element. But the main purpose I see in the plan of God is the exposure of evil. That God has raised up Donald Trump to show the American people, especially the Christian community, the corruption that exists in government, in the media, among the elites, in the boardrooms, in the classrooms, all across America. God's plan is to expose evil, to have it shouted from the housetops as America goes into apostasy and eventual judgment. And this exposure of evil is what's also instrumental in the salvation of those who are to be saved. Romans chapter 3, "Through the law comes the knowledge of sin, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God." So here's my prediction. For what it's worth, the uncovering of this election fraud may take months. Just like it took months for conservatives to piece together all of the players in the Russian collusion hoax, Biden may take the office of president, and then in 4 months it may be proved that Dominion voting machines did switch votes. Then what? Well, it'll certainly expose corruption, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God, that the people would see the corruption in themselves and in the world, and a few, a small remnant, will turn to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. That is the purpose, that men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended video version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. There I include more examples and insights for each program. So check that out and subscribe. That's YouTube, God and Country Biblical Exposition. And as always, thank you for including God and Country as one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father, we pray that what is hidden in darkness will be proclaimed upon the rooftops, so that men would no longer trust this world, but look to you in faith and repentance for life, liberty, and the promise of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.